So who with the resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 98. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week, it's all about where we think episode 9 is going to go. And you know what's really funny about this, Ben? Is Mark Hamill just commented about what he thinks happened to Luke Skywalker after at the end of The Last Jedi. We'll have to talk about that. As always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ben.
Hello. It's been way too long.
It has been.
But I'm here.
Get it? It has
I
know, been.
Nobody else is. But, I think everyone heard I was going to be on this episode, and they're like, bye.
Anyway.
Understandable. Yeah.
It's all right. If you want to get involved in the conversation, get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypervolt.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including the new Last Jedi book that has a lot of scenes that were not in the movie. That's coming out soon, so I'm excited to hear that. Listen to that. So that's going to be cool. We have also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And perks are Discord chat coming on the show, joining us in the recording studio live as we record each episode, movie nights, and After Dark episodes. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, you can also check out our website and look at the merch we have for sale. T-shirts, button packs are available on our website. And guess what, Ben?
What, Mikey?
These t-shirts and button packs are actually going to be part of our 100th episode giveaway.
Ooh, special music.
I know, right? Special music. Maybe I should put music in this.
Actually, but, suppose, yeah, instead of just me saying it, we can do that because, you know.
Editing. the wonders of edit. No, I probably won't because I like your special music. But anyway.
Oh, thanks.
100th episode giveaway. So we are at episode 98, only two more weeks till episode 100, which will be a special kind of clip show, if you will. Like talking about our favorite moments, revisiting some past spotlight topics, maybe having some additional guest hosts on the show. Hopefully we'll have at least the four of us. You know, I'm sure Danya and Caitlin will be out there. But you know, maybe have Dano and Mikkel and a couple other people on here. Maybe some Patreon members live talking to us.
I've only shared one episode with Eric so far. We should probably get him on the show.
Eric is always busy. You know, that Muggle cast, those Harry Potter people, they're always busy. But it's, you know, maybe Eric will make a triumphant return. Because I will say, one of my favorite moments is his Watto impression. So why not?
Yeah, so like, it's necessary.
He's got to be there so he can do it himself and not me. But yes, check out resistanceradio.net for our 100th episode giveaway. You can join in there, tweet at us, like our Facebook page, all those things, and be entered to win a free t-shirt and button pack, which is pretty cool. Also, tweet at us your favorite moments over the last 100 episodes. Maybe it's Watto, you know, Eric singing the Watto Cantina theme song from Star Wars Racer from the N64. Or maybe it was our live podcast at Indie PopCon. Or who knows else what else. There's a lot of really fun moments. Or maybe our 50th episode, we did a live YouTube stream.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was like 48 episodes ago.
I think that was the episode that Eric was on, actually.
Eric's been on a lot of episodes, so maybe.
But it's been like since I was, like when we were both on the same show, I mean.
So it's been 48 episodes since you and Eric.
It's been 48 episodes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So okay.
That was right after. I don't know. Whatever. We'll talk about this in two episodes. But
in two episodes, yeah. What's your favorite moment? Maybe your favorite moment is when you're with Eric. Anyway, it's time for the news, right? Time for the news.
Yeah.
So this is one of my favorite news things that have come out. Is StarWars.com has revealed an excerpt from the book The Last Shot. Or Last Shot, not The Last Shot, just Last Shot, which is a Han and Lando novel coming April 17th in advance of Solo, a Star Wars story. I will tell you this, Ben, and you know this. I read all the Star Wars books. I read them. They're like one of my favorite things to do. I just love that there's like it's a Han and Lando novel. Like it's not just like a Han Solo story that has Lando in it.
I want this to be like a buddy comedy, you know?
It might be. It'll be good. But it's a Han. It says a Han and Lando novel, which is really cool. Yeah. I will say one thing that's interesting is I'm trying to see, you know, the time. You know, the story takes place in three distinct time periods. And I will say the interesting thing is the Millennium Falcon that they show on the cover, or at least with the Han cover, is the Millennium Falcon from the original trilogy.
Yeah, the originals. Yeah. And then
whereas
the Lando one is Lando the old one, right?
Is the old one where, you know, it's really funny.
Or the new one, depending on...
or the new one, if you consider.
Wait, yeah.
Now, whatever. You know what's interesting, though, is the missing gap right there at the front.
Yeah.
I'm fairly confident those are escape pods. You know why? Ooh. It's because we know in... So, you know, for those of you who haven't known, if you look at the Solo Star Wars story trailer, the new Millennium Falcon doesn't have the kind of, you know, the two kind of pincer things, you know, if you will, like it doesn't have the two pincer things that it has. So those are either escape pods or I would say like a cargo hold type thing that, you know, Han dropped Jabba's cargo.
Maybe. And we've seen.
Whoa, but I think it's more escape pods because remember in A New Hope, the escape pods have been jettisoned, you know, so it could be that those escape pods were, you know, it would be just like Han never to like replace the escape pods.
Maybe, or I mean, I know we're not theorizing about Solo right now, but it could be like Lando's like, darn, I lost the ship. And then Han's like, you can keep the escape pods. And then just like,
you know. Oh boy.
Just like as a gift. I don't know.
As a gift. I don't know if he would do that. But there's a new excerpt on StarWars.com for Last Shot. Check it out. I will say I'm excited for this book to come April 17th. More news. This is kind of fun. Is Hasbro has labs. I feel like every company has like a lab like spinoff. Like, you know, we have ILM's X Labs with all the VR stuff. And Google has their own lab department that does like the space and all that stuff. But Hasbro has its own HasLab, is bringing Jabba's sail barge to life. So they are making a ridiculously large Jabba sail barge. And it's going to be available to... it was first revealed at the Toy Fair 2018 last month. But it's going to be available to pledge backers. The $500 masterpiece is their largest product ever created. So it is huge, huge, huge. You're going to be able to put like your 3.75-inch characters inside of it. Like, you're literally going to be able to play out that Return of the Jedi scene, if you will, from Jabba's sail barge. What do you think of this?
I mean, it's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's definitely one of those just like, are you a toy collector? Do you have money?
Or I will say...
you don't.
My favorite thing is like the inside of the barge, like it opens up, and you can see like the galley, and there's like those things hanging on the wall, stuff like that. The frog thing that, you know, Jabba eats. I'll be honest, my mind slips me. I don't remember that frog creature. If you know it, tweet at us and tell me what it was. And also the creature hanging upside down from on Tatooine that Jar Jar eats with the tongue is hanging up on the wall there, which I think is pretty awesome. But yeah, it looks pretty awesome. Like, this is going to be one of those things where if you've ever seen like anyone paint their action figures, this is one that like I can see painting and weathering and just making it look ridiculously awesome.
Yeah.
Cuz who doesn't want the sail barge?
Man. Right. This might be answer to that $800 Lego Millennium Falcon. They're like, "We need a really expensive toy."
Yeah, so they have a $500 sail barge.
Yeah.
Now I will say this, like, honestly, what it would be like to be a gangster and have like just like a sail barge and cruise, man. I wish I was a gangster. No, I don't wish I was a gangster.
It's just like, well, it's Jabba's, you know, Rolls Royce.
Yeah, like, it is Jabba's Rolls Royce, right?
Yeah.
So this is old news, but today is Oscar Sunday, right?
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. Today is Oscar Sunday.
Yeah, and you said the episode's going out Sunday the 4th, so. If you're listening to this before the Oscars, this is going to be a fun conversation. And if you're listening to this after, this conversation will be irrelevant, but it's okay.
Well, no, it's not irrelevant because there's two bits of news tied to this. First of all, obviously, we talked about this. The Last Jedi received 4 Oscars for original score, John Williams, which I'm sure you have plenty to say about, Ben, visual effects, sound editing, and sound mixing. So that's awesome that Star Wars picked up some Oscar noms.
I actually, just because the Oscars haven't happened in the certain time we are recording this, I pulled up the other nominees that they're up against. And just figured we could like run through them and see if there's any chance Star Wars could ever win an Oscar.
Well, why don't we? Well, Star Wars has won Oscars in the past.
Well, just, okay, well, I guess you're new Star Wars, like post original trilogy.
Okay, yeah, because prequels I think got one, maybe prequels a nomination.
Got
a couple.
It says right here, prequels got Phantom Menace got four or three nominations. Clones and Sith both got one nomination.
Okay, so
and Force Awakens got five.
Okay, so before we dive into that, I do want to mention that guess who is a presenter at the Oscars this year?
Wait, am I guessing? Because I'm not sure. I don't know this answer.
Well, if you click on link G in our notes there.
Oh,
F,
okay, hold on. I haven't moved down that far. Okay,
it's all right.
Hold on.
You can scroll down and look. But oh. Mark Hamill is actually presenting. He's presenting an award.
It's not Salacious Crumb?
No, it's not Salacious Crumb. It is Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself. And so before we kind of talk a little bit more about the Oscars and Star Wars, I do want to talk about Mark Hamill. So Mark Hamill is going to be at the award show this year. Although I'm trying to find the exact quote. Let me just do a quick search here. He said he'd rather be doing this in his PJs. Rather be watching.
It's a very Hamill thing to say.
Okay, there it is. It says, watching it in my pajamas. He says, I prefer watching it in my pajamas, saying, look at her hair. Now I have to put on a tuxedo and be part of it because I'm presenting, he told the BBC. Believe me, as big an honor as it is to be part of it, it's much more fun to be watching it at home. So I know I'll be watching the Oscars at home, Mark, and I will probably put my pajamas on just to say, look at his hair just for you. Now, I will say
if I were him, I'd show up in really nice Jedi robes.
That really comfy Jedi robes and pretend they're not
pajamas. Yeah, really
comfy
because it's like half pajamas, but like they can be super formal too. Like, you know,
the thing is he's presenting. He said he's got to wear a tuxedo. Now,
is there a contract thing that says you have to wear a tuxedo?
Probably. It's the Oscars. Now, I will say what's interesting is he joked that they didn't pick animated short because, you know, he's too short to be a stormtrooper. Did they? Oh, so cruel, right?
That's
But yeah, so he said.
Do you know which award he's presenting?
No, it didn't say in the article, which is why I'm kind of like,
I'm curious now.
I'm surprised, but yeah, he is presenting
probably
an award.
One that has Star Wars in it. Well, it might not.
No,
be.
It won't be one that has Star Wars in it because you know he's there. But you know, he did say a couple other things, which I wish Donnie would hear.
Maybe he's doing. Sorry, I know that Casey Affleck isn't doing Best Actress because of things, so. Maybe they just were like, Mark Hamill, do you want to present Best Actress? I know that's a really big award, so maybe not, but...
Yeah, it might be. Mark Hamill is, you know, he's getting his star on the Walk of Fame this year, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
who knows?
They usually have, like, the guys do the actor announcements, and then actresses do the actor announcement, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe? I'll say, maybe, who knows? Now, I will say it's interesting. Mark Hamill also said something that I wish Donnie was here, because... It's a little political, you know, obviously, what he said. But he said, you know, his concern was that he hopes that the Oscars are not politically charged this year. You know, I hope it's fun and lighthearted, you know. Sometimes it's shaded by causes and politics, but I think it's a good time for everyone to just relax and enjoy themselves. I know that's what I'll do. So, you know, I get it. This year in Hollywood has been, you know, the Me Too campaign. I feel like we can't not talk about it, but I, you know, at the same time, like, this is a big time for Hollywood to recognize the industry peers who have worked really hard. I was lucky enough when I was in college, I got to be a seat filler for the Oscars, so I've been to the Oscars. Ooh, yeah, cool. It's actually really not hard to do.
Who were you sitting next to?
I was sitting next to, oh gosh, it was years ago. Who was I sitting next to? I don't even remember.
Was it like
I was
an
just
early
more
2000 star like Keanu Reeves or something?
Yeah,
wait, why would Keanu Reeves be at the Oscars?
Who knows? But it was back like in 2004, 2005 maybe. So it was a long time ago. Like it's not out of all the things I've done in my life, it was cool. But like I've also done Sundance and stuff like that too. Like I've worked those things and American Film Market and different stuff. So I've done these other things that I thought were pretty cool too. But you know, this was fun, but it was just something that like I had friends do this every year.
That's something you can say to anybody who doesn't like movies. Like, I was at the Oscars, and they'll know what you're talking about. So
that's,
you know,
yeah, that is
like,
true.
I worked Sundance. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, well, for me, that was bigger. Like, Sundance was bigger.
Well, sure,
for me.
Yeah, yeah. For some people, you know, it is, but I'm just saying, for the average person, like, you talk to on the street, you can be like, yeah,
I've been to
the Oscars.
I will say this. He actually talked about seat fillers, too, in this. He's like, so when you present, he's like, so what happens when you present is you go backstage early, and I don't come back to my seat. I get to hang out backstage, eat all the free food, and just stay away from my seat. There's always the seat filler. Usually they're more handsome than I am, so it's a win-win. Huh. And Mark, I agree. If I was there this year, I would definitely be your seat filler. More handsome than you, maybe. Maybe not.
That's
but
fun.
But yeah, no, seat fillers for the Oscars is really, you know, they do this for all the award shows. So as the camera pans over it, it looks like there's no empty seats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things where, but, you know, obviously in film school, like, they get a lot of those people, like, just industry.
Yeah,
like up and comers trying to break out. True. So it's an opportunity for you to mingle in Hollywood.
Going back to the political question, I don't think there's like a, like, I understand kind of all answers or arguments towards it. I just think by the nature of like certain movies that are nominated this year, that's the politics, and like we should, like, it's like a balance between like, okay, these movies are saying something, but we're celebrating the art of filmmaking, you know, and. So there's definitely, you know, if we're a Star Wars podcast, there's a balance.
Yeah, and that's exactly
what I definitely
what
think that I know exactly there's a criticism because I think especially because of, I think the Golden Globes was a good example of like, it kind of leaned very far to a, this is just about politics kind of thing, where like, I definitely think there can be like, you know, the movies are supposed to represent like, you know, our culture currently and all the, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, if you lean too far away from this is about a celebration of filmmaking and like artistry of people, you know, it becomes a little like, I don't know. But, you know, of course, people have every right to, you know, display their views. It's not like,
yeah,
I'm shutting that down either. So
I think you're right. 100%. Like the films that are nominated this year, like Get Out stands out to me as a very obvious one that makes us, you know, makes a statement and whatnot. But, it, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see how the event rolls out. Obviously, this conversation won't mean much to people after, you know.
Yeah, right.
this evening, if you listen to this later today. But, you know, it is one of those things where, like,
that surprise Last Jedi Best Picture win, man.
Yeah,
expecting that.
I know it wasn't, right? I can't believe Star Wars walked away with 13. It's tied with
Amazing.
Return of the King, right?
Of the King won 11, actually.
Oh, well, there we go.
My Oscar trivia.
There you go. I don't remember Oscar trivia for... Actually, I'll be
Fellowship
honest,
was nominated for 13, though. If you ever get asked that question, like, which Lord of the Rings had more nominations, it's not Return of the King. It's actually Fellowship.
Huh.
Yeah.
There you go. There
trivia
you go.
For all y'all listeners. Yeah.
I'm actually really bad at trivia. I know a lot of random stuff, but I'm bad at trivia.
Killer at trivia.
All right. Back to Oscars. You know, so Oscars. like you said, you know, I kind of hope with Mark Hamill, like he said, like, I hope it's a time to just relax and enjoy and have fun with it. Because the Oscars are always so much fun.
Yeah, they are.
And not
I
that
them
I
last year.
Not so. That I don't want them to be, you know, obviously I want them to stand for something, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, you know,
that's not what they should be.
That's not what it should be. It should be
like, only.
You know, I would be amiss if nothing is ever mentioned, but at the same time, like, I don't want it to be completely tied to that. I want it to be like, hey, these are the peers. This is, you know, the people who do this. And, you know, I had
like, can't we talk about just cinematography for once or something, you know?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. I think there's a healthy balance. I hope that happens. We'll know in like a few hours.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Anyway, can I read off the other noms against Star Wars just so we can?
Yes, you can. Yes, you
get
can.
Those off really fast. Okay. So sound editing is Baby Driver, Blade Runner 2049, Dunkirk, Shape of Water, and Star Wars The Last Jedi. I'm pretty sure this will probably be Dunkirk or Blade Runner.
Actually,
Baby Driver was pretty great, too.
Baby Driver was good, and Blade Runner is awesome, but I'll be honest with you, if it's not Star Wars, which it probably won't be as much as I want it to be, it's probably going to be Dunkirk. Like,
yeah. I feel like Dunkirk, because it's a Christopher Nolan movie, they'll be like, technical awards, like, because they do a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
So Star Wars also sound mixing, not sound editing. is also Baby Driver, Blade Runner, Dunkirk, Shape of Water, and Star Wars. So, I don't know. Are the people voting, like, aware of the difference? Or are they just going to give them both to Dunkirk?
Here's the thing is, like, so the Oscars is interesting. Is the Oscars is not, like, a group of people decide. It's actually, if you have your SAG card, you can actually... You are, you know, the Oscars is from the peers doing it. So if you are in the industry, you can get review copies of all the films that are nominated, and you can watch them.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So actually, there's people I work with who have active SAG cards, and they voted this year in the Academy for the nominations, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know, so they've done stuff that way. Like,
so people vote who do care. That's good.
Yeah,
so and I'm sure there's sound mixers out there who are like, why?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, obviously it's skewed sometimes. Like, there's also been the argument over the years with when it comes to the Oscars, like, it's a popularity contest. Right. And in a way, it can be, because there's just so
totally
many people.
Oh, it totally can be.
It can definitely be.
Well, you need
be.
Viewers, too, so.
Yeah, so you need that thing. So, like, when you look at, like, who made the most money, obviously Star Wars, you know, got the most money this year out of those films nominated. But, you know, you have, like, at the same time, you're going to have as many people who won't
I
have...
I guess that doesn't,
you know, like,
just because
that,
something
that
made a lot of money doesn't mean
it's mean
like,
it's gonna be,
know,
the winner.
Popcorn and it's not low quality or, like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, and that's the thing is, like, you also tend to see a little bit more art films in Oscars, too. Because
yeah,
it's the industry, like, recognizing their own, you know, themselves. Right. So it doesn't really matter if it
made
money
large,
or not.
Money makers, like, you know, we talked about Lord of the Rings a second ago, like, that technically was a massive indie film, right, for the time, even though it made $1 billion.
Well, and that's what it was. It was literally a massive indie film, because remember, the studio that produced it was it New Line?
I think New Line, yeah.
Yeah, and New Line's defunct now. Like, they don't exist.
Yeah. Well, they also were just like, here's the money, make it in New Zealand, and then, like, 3 years later, they had three movies, and I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And they had a new up and coming director named Peter Jackson at the time.
Yep.
And he had a strong
now
passion.
Now he's a down and going director.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's
poor Peter
around.
Jackson. We know have something good in you, but
yeah, well, but here's the thing is, like, you also it had someone who had passion and everything, and
yeah,
these totally. Like, and they were not afraid to be like, okay, we're going to do this and it's going to be, you know, 3 hours long, which is kind of bucks the trend. Like, think about it. Like,
crazy. Yeah.
There's not many films that people would sit 3+ hours for.
For three of them, too.
For, like, three of them, yeah. And then try to do, like, a marathon of all of them. Plus, then the extended editions that are 4.5 hours long. And people watch them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like, even, you know, think about it. The Last Jedi is extremely long,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like they cut things down. To try to make pacing wise where it was, but yeah, it's definitely one of the things. So sound mixing,
let's see, what original score is Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, Shape of Water, Star Wars, Last Jedi, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I mean, of course, John Williams being the most nominated person alive, it's just them saying, you deserve this again, but also we're not going to give it to you because you have 5 already and blah, blah, blah.
I don't
blah.
Know. I feel but, like he might get it.
I don't think so, because Hans Zimmer kind of... Dunkirk wasn't the type of score I would listen to on its own, but it supported that movie really well. I also recently saw Phantom Thread, which has a really good score. And then Alexander Desplat won for The Shape of Water at the Golden Globes, so it's kind
now,
of
Shape
up in
of
the
Water,
air.
The Shape of Water one was really good, and Alexander Desplat did a really good job.
Totally. I think if they were to give it to John Williams, they would wait till episode 9 and just be kind of like a here's a life achievement Oscar for Star Wars, you know, because he won for the very first one. So to give it to him for the last one he does, you know, would be kind of cool. But yeah, I don't see him winning just because I've been disappointed by him not winning for my entire life, because he hasn't won an Oscar since before I was born and he has 5. So I'm just like, you know.
I don't know. I will say this. The Last Jedi soundtrack, I was pleasantly surprised with.
Oh, I loved it.
I still love it. I like it more than the Force Awakens one.
Well, here's the thing. I told a lot of people this. Last Jedi has a lot less, you know, new like fully fledged new material in it. Like he builds the entire score off of mostly older stuff, which is awesome. Like that he has that kind of wealth of, you know, material to draw from. So it felt like it was sort of like a booster pack to the Force Awakens score. You know, like Force Awakens set up all this new stuff. You know, we have like Rey's theme, a Resistance march, like Kylo Ren has a theme, you know, all this stuff. And then Last Jedi was like, okay, now let's kick it into high gear and like start, you know, moving forward with all this stuff. And I think they go well together for sure. But Last Jedi is more of an action score, so there's a lot more like really cool.
And I think that's probably why I like it, because it's definitely more of an action score and stuff. Definitely. It reminds me a lot of like the Empire Strikes Back score.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Where
yeah.
like there's not really much new stuff except maybe one or two. I don't.
Look well, at it I right mean, now. The Imperial March was the new theme for Empire Strikes Back.
But everything else just so played off of itself.
Well, it was Imperial March, Yoda's theme, and then Han and Leia had a love theme, and that was the new stuff. But yeah. It played off of a lot of old stuff.
Yeah, and the same thing is, like, this plays off a lot of old stuff, but, like, it does, like, I'm pulling it up right now just because we're talking about it.
Right. I have, actually, the four-year consideration album they sent to the Academy has some really nice stuff that isn't on the original album, actually.
Wait, it's not on it's the original soundtrack?
Yeah, they sent in, like, an alternate 15 minutes. Most of it's the same, but there was a chunk that was not, which is great to listen to, because it's like a longer Battle of Krait.
The full piece and stuff like that.
Yeah, basically stuff like that, yeah, because they didn't want to like put in like the opening credits to send to the Oscars, because they're like, you know this already. They wanted to send in the new stuff, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they sent in the Escape from, you know, they got rid of the main theme and Escape and just present the Escape part, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the Escape part's longer and has more, you know, because that first scene is like 12 minutes long, right? So, you know. But yeah, so, I mean, I'm, you know, totally think he's deserving of it. It's just, I don't think he'll get it just because I would love him to. I mean, I'm always like, I'm ready for, you know, for another one. I'll be pleasantly surprised if it happens. And I'll be happy if it does. I'm trying to think what else was, well, I guess, okay. I do agree with you with the whole, like Force Awakens, I think took its time to set up like a crap ton of new themes and everything like that. And it was just like, there wasn't room in a 2-hour movie to put it in, I think maybe everything he wanted to. So this was his chance to like develop and go through. He said in an interview recently, he wrote 3 hours of music for the longest cut of the film. And then they just cut it down from there. So I'm hoping the deleted scenes we get with the DVD are going to have extra score. That would be cool.
Maybe. I can't wait till they actually release like what they did for the original trilogy and the prequels, like the definitive full score, like where they have like all the additional music like on two discs.
Yeah, they did that for Phantom Menace, I remember. I don't think they did that for Clones or Sith. I've acquired the complete ones through some less than honorable means, but
I know the
originals are available.
No, they have the deluxe editions with the longer ones. I know because I have them on my computer right now, and that means I purchased them on CD.
For the original trilogy, you mean?
And the prequels, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know where you found Clones and Sith.
Well, oh, maybe Sith was just two discs. I remember, but I see disc one and disc two, Revenge of the Sith right now, so.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Wait, there's one more. Hold on. Visual effects. It's Blade Runner, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Kong Skull Island, Star Wars Last Jedi, and War for the Planet of the Apes. Planet of the Apes is definitely going to win this because they won the last two for their last two movies. Visual effects always goes to Apes.
I don't know. I was kind of disappointed. It was a lot of the same. Like, you didn't really see anything.
Well, yeah, but it still looked great. I mean, I loved The Last Jedi, but Snoke still doesn't look real. Let's get that out of the way.
Well, Snoke's not supposed to look real. Snoke's supposed to look like an alien character.
I know, but even as an alien, I didn't quite buy it. It was specifically when he reaches out and like touches Rey's head when he's talking to her. It didn't sell it for me. Although I did see it on a massive screen, so I don't think that necessarily helped. But I think because like for Planet of the Apes, I saw it. I was looking for the stuff that wasn't real, and it was really hard to find. You know, even though it's more of the same, it's very impressive what they can do. Blade Runner looked great too, actually.
Yeah, Blade Runner looked awesome. We'll see. I'm gonna continue on. I hope it's Star Wars, and I'm just gonna move on.
I hope
with
it's
that.
Star Wars. Battle of Crait looked beautiful, so that's that.
Well, the Battle of Crait was awesome. The okay. white with red and everything. Anyway,
yeah, I think we were meant to record this just us because we're just talking about movies. We're not.
Yeah.
Talking
anyway,
about
moving
Star
on. That's
Wars.
Why I want to move on. I want to move us on. Move us on. Anyway, so more Solo news, specifically about Lando. Have you had a chance to look at this, Ben?
I am looking at it right now. Oh, yes. No, I did know about this.
So this is really cool. So Lucasfilm has done a full face and body scan of Donald Glover. So Donald Glover made a joke about after he passes away, they'll release a Lando film with a CGI version of himself. Now, that's awesome. obviously, I would hate to them wait that long to do a Lando movie.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Because, you know, Donald Glover is just a little bit older than me. So I will probably not be around if he's not around. But, you know, he's like, you know, it'd be cool, you know. It'd be cool for him to do something with CGI. But they scanned him into Star Wars Now. He said, so his exact quote is, "I'm scanning to Star Wars Now, my face and body. Who's to say that at some point they won't take that scan and say, let's make another movie with Donald. He's been dead for 15 years, but we can do whatever we want with him." You know, so that would be kind of interesting, but I think that's cool. Like, I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine them doing this for, like, bringing into, like, the next animated short. Like, you know, we talked about Star Wars Resistance being the idea of it, and maybe having, instead of it being a progression of Billy Dee, be a progression of Lando, or they do something like an early day, you know, before A New Hope, yeah. or if he's going to make.
I was definitely
somewhere.
Thinking that, like, you know, I'm pretty sure Donald Glover's going to land really solidly with, like, the public who goes to see Solo. I just have a really, I've got a good feeling about this, and I think if that's good, I don't know. I could see Disney picking him up and doing, like, a live TV show, like a Lando show on their streaming network that they're coming out with, you know.
He does a lot of TV. You know, he did a Community,
yeah, like,
which he was praised for. He does
for
Atlanta
perfectly, and, like, yeah. And a Lando show, how cool would that be,
dude? The Adventures of Lando Calrissian.
Seriously, that's all you have to call it. That's literally
it.
All you
just
have to.
The Adventures of Lando Calrissian. Yeah, and it would be like it would be
great.
You know what's amazing is I feel like the Adventures of Lando Calrissian. You hear I keep saying it, like, it just sounds so great. But the Adventures of Lando Calrissian could be totally something like a Firefly. Which is like, you know, with like, have Joss Whedon do it with Donald Glover. It'd be awesome. Like, think about it. Firefly was like the whole joke of it's a Western in space, but it was fun. Like, that's what Lando is. Like, look at, like, if you scroll down and look at the pictures from the Solo film, you got Lando. He's a card playing smuggler, smooth talking, you know, scoundrel. It would be absolutely, absolutely awesome. So,
yeah. Well, he's the only person who we've ever seen, like, kind of challenge Han as his equal, you know?
So,
definitely
think,
be cool to, you know, Han has the movies, like, give Lando a cool show, because,
yeah,
like,
Lando a cool show with, like, 10 seasons. It'd be awesome. There we go. Every week, a new episode.
So, season, like,
the
8
Adventures
and 10 will be, like, digital Lando, right?
Well, it would be really cool, because, like, here's the thing is, like, I'd be okay just to kind of, like, see, like, what Lando got up to before he gets Cloud City. Like,
yeah, so, like, the series finale in season 10 could be just, like, the Millennium Falcon showing up at Cloud City.
Yeah, yeah, it would be awesome. Like, there it is. Like, they have it all planned out. Man, the Adventures of Lando Calrissian.
Seriously, it sounds so good. It sounds so good.
We can't wait. Like, okay. Seriously, it's awesome.
Does Kathleen Kennedy have a Twitter?
I don't know.
This is happening. Yeah. Can we call this episode The Adventures of Lando Calrissian?
That's what it's going to be. The Adventures of Lando Calrissian. Now,
in that voice.
Yeah, I have to use that. Maybe this is one of your favorite moments from the last 99 episodes.
Yeah, it took 98 episodes for
to
me
get to
it.
The Adventures of Lando Calrissian. God, I'm just going to do that over and over again.
Yeah, just over
and
over again. Anyway,
so there was an interesting article that came up from Screen Rant about Disney has announced 24 movies releasing between 2020 and 2022, but no announcement of Star Wars.
So, translation, Disney's planning to take over the world. We knew this already.
Well, so here's what's interesting. So, just to give you an idea, we know a couple things. So, after 2019, which is episode 9, we know J.J. Abrams has finished the script and they're starting production on it soon. So, we do know episode 9 is released 2019. Now, we don't have any official dates for any other Star Wars films, but we do know about Rian Johnson is doing a new trilogy of films. He's producing and writing and directing at least the first one, but it's a new trilogy. We know Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are developing a new series as writer-producers.
Is it a series or is it a trilogy? Well,
it's a trilogy. A new trilogy.
Right. Gotcha.
But they're doing it as writers-producers. And we also know about another standalone film that is very strongly rumored to be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It better be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But it hasn't been confirmed. It's really interesting. I was talking to
Kennedy's Twitter.
What's interesting is like Donnie was like, "Isn't that confirmed?" I'm like, "Not officially confirmed. Like we don't know. It could be something."
Literally, I think it's
I was at dinner with Evan from JodoCast. He's like, "Isn't that confirmed?" I'm like, "No, it's not confirmed yet. Why does everyone think it's confirmed?
Because
it could easily be something completely different."
Yeah. No, it was.
We think it's Obi-Wan, though.
2 days ago, someone like one of my friends like told one of like these other guys that I just met or whatever. He's just like, "Oh yeah, Ben's like a huge Star Wars fan," and I was like, "Yeah, I totally am." And he's just like, "Oh, did you hear about the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie?" I was like, "Dude, like don't go there with me." But yeah, it's like assumed that it's gonna happen. It's like people have talked about it so much. It's like
it's not assumed.
It's not official.
It's not official.
Like,
it's a rumor that I believe Hollywood Reporter got one of the trades.
I swear, when it becomes official, you will know I will go record my own episode of me just talking about it and send it to Mikey and he will release it.
There it is. Resistance Radio with Ben only.
It's just
by
me
himself talking.
Yeah.
Anyway, but like it's okay. So we have those shows. Like we have those. So essentially we have what? 6-7 Star Wars films that we know are happening, but like not confirmed to what they are.
Yeah. If we say that like
now,
10
hold
of these
on,
24
hold on.
Are well, okay.
Well, so we have 7 films that are Star Wars, and we know Lucasfilm is going to be doing, after Star Wars Episode 9, Indiana Jones, which is slated for 2020.
Yes.
So we know Indiana Jones 5. So we have 7 Star Wars films that are planned, but Indiana Jones is coming out in 2020. So after 2019, we have no confirmed year or anything dates for any of them. Now, the Screen Rant article dives into like possible release dates of this, like 2020, May 2020 or December 2020, May 2021, December 2021, stuff like that. But really, what's interesting is I was talking to my wife about it, is there was rumors that Disney wants to artificially starve the market of Star Wars. I said, what if after Episode 9, there's no Star Wars movie in 2020 or 2021, and it returns in 2022, which would make sense because, remember, Disney has just announced 24 movies releasing between 2020 and 2022, and included Marvel movies and live-action Disney films, like the live-action Mulan and stuff like that.
Well,
so
Stuff
like that. So by keeping no Star Wars film between 2019 and 2022, and then start like a new trilogy with Rian Johnson or the standalone Obi-Wan, kicking it off with the Obi-Wan Kenobi film or something like that, especially when you also have to look at other things that have happened recently, like no Star Wars Celebration this year, and they're pushing it back to the next year to finish it off with Episode 9, like making it a bigger event than it is. I wouldn't be surprised, because like my wife made a joke. She's like, "You would never get tired of Star Wars, but like everyone else, like even if it's only 3 years, like that would be enough time for people to be like, okay, like now it's time for a big Star Wars movie to come in and make it a big event like The Force Awakens was."
Right.
And I get that. But here's the thing: is
I think
they'll also be
considering that Star Wars is a sacred property, right? You don't want
it is
like don't mess this up, like
yeah,
you like, know. So that's a really I do like that idea, because they have the theme park opening, they have a Disney streaming service showing up with a TV show, like they'll have Star Wars. It's just
they'll have a TV show, like and that would be really cool. Like I'm excited for a TV show. Like I know we'll have another animation show. I'll be remiss not to say like. The Adventures of come on, how awesome would that be? The Adventures of Lando Calrissian. Anyway, but like even like Rebels, and I'll be remiss not to talk about Rebels a little bit this episode. I know you don't watch it, Ben.
Haven't been able to. It's not that I don't want to.
You haven't been able to. I will say the episode, like this week's most recent episodes, as we're leading up to the season finale or the series finale, if you will, kind of shine a light on how much more in depth and how much more kind of evil Palpatine really was, and kind of what we also find about the fate about Ahsoka Tano and stuff like that. And I'm kind of being vague in general on this right now about Rebels, but more just because I want to do a finale episode, like with everything, and kind of recap the entire series, specifically this season too. But it's interesting. Like, we see why Jakku is important to the Emperor. We see why Lothal is important to the Emperor, because of these ancient Jedi temples and stuff that essentially the Jedi were guarding. So it's really interesting. And I think that Disney will have a big opportunity to kind of fill this kind of artificial drought, if you will, of Star Wars with a TV series, which, especially when you think about like what Disney does so well, or in what Lucasfilm has done so well, is toys. Being able to put like a new series with maybe even completely new characters, or even the characters from the current trilogy, you know, Star Wars Resistance or something like that, and build toys off of that and action figures and stuff like that. Like, that will keep that market going. And obviously the hardcore fans like myself and you and everyone else will get a chance to watch and, you know, consume this Star Wars stuff. And then all of a sudden a new movie comes.
Well, so, and also like to see the sequel trilogy age a little bit and be like, oh, that's this thing that happened and it's in history now. And like, we have it forever. You know what I mean? Like, to give some time so that the sequel trilogy becomes nostalgic, you know?
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, because like, you want that sequel trilogy to stand on its own and not just be... Yeah.
It needs to land properly, and I think, we're talking about episode 9 today, like, you know, this is the last Skywalker saga film, you know? It's important, like, it needs to be not only, you know, good, but it has to wrap things up well. I don't know.
The other thing I would say is, like, just to kind of give an idea about the film. So we know about, like I said, 7 films, 3 films Rian Johnson's doing that we have no clue what it's going to be. He said it's not going to be part of it. So we're hoping that, like, it's something like Old Republic or something completely different, right?
I think that's
then you also have Benioff and Weiss doing a Star Wars series who did things like Game of Thrones, who, like, an Old Republic series would be even better, because, like, that's when you had lots of Jedi and lots of Sith fighting. Like, their big battles in Game of Thrones look awesome. Like, this would be really cool to have them tackle that.
I think after seeing Last Jedi, I think a Rian Johnson trilogy would be... he would be more suited to, like, something a little more off of the...
Yoda trilogy?
Beaten path. Maybe not even, like... I don't know. I feel like if one trilogy was Old Republic, or, like, you know, maybe, like, the... was very Jedi-centric, if Rian Johnson had a trilogy that wasn't necessarily as Jedi-centric... Because he worked... some of my favorite things in The Last Jedi were, like, not Jedi-related, you know? Just kind of the way he handled the... Star Wars is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be this adventure in space, you know, that kind of stuff. And just the Poe... the way he handled Poe, the way he handled just the comedy...
Rose and the Fabiers.
That kind of stuff. Like, that's stuff that I think Rian Johnson does well. And so if they gave him a trilogy of that kind of stuff, and then gave the big, epic, dark kind of Jedi story to, you know... another party.
Benioff and Weiss, maybe.
Now we could have two contrasting trilogies, and it would be nice.
Now, here's what's interesting, is previously, back at Celebration, it was back in 2014-ish, when they announced the new trilogy and the standalone films, they also announced a Boba Fett film. And Josh Trank, I don't know if you remember, but director Josh Trank was supposed to do it back in 20. And that was announced right around the release of his Fantastic Four. It was not so fantastic, and he also, badmouthed
the movie before it came out.
Shamed the movie before it came out. He badmouthed the studio, which, you know, when you're looking, when you have like a property like Star Wars, that's something that you can't have a director kind of like go against you, even if it's not bad. Apparently, you know, a lot of the Fantastic Four stuff was because of the studio, so I understand him being upset. But like, here's the thing: it's like, the Boba Fett movie, is it going to come out? When? Never? Maybe? Who knows? But obviously, they were working on it; like, it was in development.
Yeah,
Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. Everyone is assuming that's what's coming next, but who knows? So like, it is one of those things where maybe an Obi-Wan and Boba Fett movie got combined together. They're both on Tatooine.
Yeah,
we know that. We know that. Like, they're both on Tatooine.
That'd be interesting if we just had like a split storyline and they cross like once during the entire movie.
Yeah, who knows? Well, and that's the thing is, like, if you've got to remember, like, we see Obi-Wan on Tatooine in Star Wars Rebels. We know he gets attacked by Darth Maul. We know he's standing back a ways, you know, just watching Luke grow up. We also get to, you know, in From a Certain Point of View, which is a phenomenal book. And I will say it's really fun to listen to. It's probably better to listen to it in an audiobook format. So we talked about it. From a Certain Point of View is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars book. And it's like all the characters in A New Hope. And it's their point of view of the story. So everything from like TK421, his story's in there. He's also the trooper that bumps his head on the Death Star.
Classic.
You know, we talk about some of the troopers.
I don't understand when somebody makes the argument that Last Jedi has flaws. I'm like, have you seen A New Hope?
Yeah. And this book has 40 different. This book has 40 different stories from 40 different characters in the movie to like kind of fill the gap of some of those things. But like, I'll be honest, like, it's really fun, and it's really fun as an audiobook. So like, we know from that, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi short story, you know, he runs into Watto and stuff like that. So I'm sure, like, you know, we know Tatooine can't have changed that much in, you know, in 20 years or 40 years from when we see it significantly in A New Hope, or not A New Hope, Phantom Menace to A New Hope.
Yeah.
When you consider that, like, you know, Shmi said, gambling, this entire city, you know, town is run on gambling. So maybe not Mos Eisley, but maybe Obi-Wan Kenobi takes a trip down to Mos Espa, and he sees the most recent pod race because he remembers his young Padawan Anakin did that. You know, who knows? Yeah. But there's
this is just very quick theory for a story is like, what can Obi-Wan Kenobi do on Tatooine for like a whole movie? Obi-Wan Kenobi didn't meet Anakin until Anakin came back to the Queen's ship.
Correct.
And then after that, he was like never on Tatooine until he delivered Luke to his aunt and uncle.
Correct. So he could
even go back and be like, okay, what exactly, like, where did this Padawan who I was friends with for 10 years come from? Like, he could do like a history lesson, sort of like an investigation of Tom Riddle kind of
deal. And that's why I said, like, maybe he goes back to see the pod races.
Yeah,
you know, he does talk about like young Luke Skywalker growing up and you know, by the stone of Shmi Skywalker, him leaving toys for Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where also, like, we've seen from, like, the Tusken Raiders in the book, too, and also the one that there's, like, a ghost story about, you know, Anakin killing the entire tribe.
Yeah.
You know, I killed them all, women and children, too. Like, that is definitely something that, you know,
I
could see him go through that.
There's a montage of Obi-Wan Kenobi interviewing people who used to know Anakin. And one of them's just like, yeah, he hated sand.
He hated sand. All right. Anyway, let's move on. So we've done a lot of, this is what happens when it's just you and me, Ben. Oh my gosh.
Problems.
Anyway, let's go to the spotlight topic, the future of Episode 9. Now, before we get into it, I specifically avoided talking about when we talked about the Oscars and Mark Hamill, or I let us derail it. Mark Hamill does say he thinks he knows what happened to Luke Skywalker. So from Mark Hamill, so this is what happened in Episode 8 to Episode 9. As for saying goodbye to the character of Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill said, "I refuse to believe that he's gone. My theory is he just teleported to somewhere else and left his robe behind. He teleported to a nudist colony. That's what I'm hoping."
Well, I know that Luke's fate is on the dock, so we'll probably get there. We'll probably talk about it.
But before we get into that, you think Luke went to a nudist colony somewhere in the galaxy?
You know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
I'll be honest. You know? As much as I love Mark Hamill, I think that's kind of far fetched.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe Fred Johnson was doing Episode 9. It wasn't. It wouldn't be. But
I think it's no worse than my Finn decided to open up an ice cream shop on Hoth.
Yeah, with Rupert Grint.
Oh yeah. Anyway,
so I pull random things out and just kind of say them.
From different fandoms.
They land with the general
Harry
public.
Potter,
yeah.
Star Wars, Rupert
yeah,
Grint.
Whatever, opened about, anyway. We've already talked about Lord of the Rings too. Like, come
yeah,
on,
this is a weird episode.
What have we missed?
It's right. This episode is called "The Adventures of Lando Calrissian."
Lando Calrissian. Yeah,
exactly. So, awesome. How will Rey and Kylo Ren's story advance, Ben? What do you think?
Oh boy. Okay. So. Rey,
or actually, but wait, hold on. Before we get to this, is episode 9 going to take place immediately after episode 8, or is there going to be a time
lapse?
No,
I don't think so.
You think there's going to be a time gap?
I think we're going to tie in probably several of these topics we have in front of us just because of the way the conversation is going to go. I have some reasons for why I think it's not going to happen immediately afterwards. But yeah,
I agree.
I think
there'll definitely be a time gap. I think there'll be the biggest time gap we've seen since the
ever.
Prequel to since the prequel to original trilogy,
yeah.
And between 1 and 2, like I think it'll be one of the biggest gaps. So the biggest
I
gap
say
is
it's
obviously
like 5 years,
yeah, and that's going to be bigger than between A New Hope and Empire.
Yes,
you know, it may not feel like that, but that was really a 5 year gap. Luke had time to grow up a little bit more. He became a commander. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. And I think when you talk about, like, how are they going to handle things like Leia, I think that's what's going to happen, is I feel like this is going to be a 5-year
gap.
Do
you want to start with that? Because I know that's sort of down on the list a little bit, but that's the main reason why I think it's going to take 5 years later, is because, firstly, the end of episode 8 is pretty, like, you know...
They're going on to start something
much,
new.
Yeah,
to
it pretty
grow,
much like, resolves. It resolves very well. Like, there's definitely, like, oh, what's going to happen? But, like, it's not, like... You know, a character's extending a lightsaber to another character and waiting to see what the reaction is. It's
it's definitely like know. if you take episode 7 to episode 8, it literally picks up picks up right after that. You see Rey get Luke, and Luke tossing the lightsaber over his shoulder. So like it, there's no time gap. Whereas this one, I feel, has to be at least 5 to 6 years. You'll see things like Rey maybe having become a full Jedi.
Right.
You'll have Kylo Ren kind of cementing himself in the hierarchy
like
of the First
Supreme
Order,
yeah.
The Supreme Leader, and
well,
Hux.
Yeah,
kinda
so here's, I mean, I guess so. The main reason why I would just be like, it needs to take place that much time later, is because you can open the film with a very nice, you know, tribute, like have Leia's funeral, like say something, you know, happened. Well, they can explain something, and have it be this beautiful kind of like moment at the beginning of the movie, so that way it's not like what happened to Leia. Like they're doing something actually, you know, tasteful and meaningful to the fans, but also like to the character, saying like, you know, this is the character's, you know, the end of the character's arc or something, you know, because again, I know they were planning on having Carrie Fisher be a huge part of the ninth, and unfortunately that's not the case anymore. So what's the best thing they can do now? And I think that's what it is. And then just like,
and I agree. Yeah. And I think it needs to be more than just something in the title crawl, you know, like something more.
Yeah, definitely.
After the death of General Organa, you know, the resistance, like it can't be this race. So there's going to be something, and I agree. Like they can't have Carrie Fisher in the film, which, and I wouldn't want them to like dishonor her with the CGI version. But at the same time, like
they set it up
they set it up.
The end
with
of episode
her.
8 suggests that Poe becomes the new leader of the resistance anyway. So
yeah,
you
it does because you
Poe
have him
give a nice
grow.
Eulogy or something, and have a really nice like, I don't know. I think there's a very good way to do it, and I'm hoping that that's what happens. I don't want Leia to just be like off doing something in the galaxy somewhere. Like, you know, that's kind of cheap. And I feel like if you're gonna send off a character, do it. Just go all in.
Yeah, and I think that's what's gonna happen. Is like when you look at like Leia, you know, Poe, Finn, and Rose's story arc, even Rey's. Like, they're left, like, you have Luke Skywalker at the end of episode 8 saying, hey, everything you just said is a lie. The Resistance was reborn today. You know, a spark of rebellion. Like, they were escaping, even though it was an opportunity for them to regrow the Resistance, and there was a new spark. The Jedi die with you. Well, that's not true. The Jedi didn't die, because Luke has passed down information to Rey, and Rey took all the sacred Jedi texts. Mm-hmm. Page turners, they were not, according to Yoda. Yeah. But you know, it's one of those things. So Rey has all the knowledge. It's her. Yeah. It's her journey to discover them and kind of grow. So I think by time of, you know, I feel like episode 9, we'll see some parallels to Return of the Jedi. Rey will have a new lightsaber, and I would love for it to be a dual bladed lightsaber.
Yeah, everyone's saying.
I think everyone's saying that because she has a staff, and it would be so staff, cool
so be great. Yeah.
To see a light side user using that. Now, if you
wouldn't anyone, it be cool for it to be green, right?
It's going to be blue though. It's going to use the same crystal because she took the crystal.
Oh, she did.
From
that's right.
She did take that, right. So it's going to be blue, which is cool because that's going to be like the early on in one of the early episodes, as we gave away Star Wars: The Old Republic time cards and credit, cartel coins for people who were playing the MMO, 2 or 3 years ago. But it's one of those things. Like one of the characters from there, especially the animated shorts, Satil Shan, she is, the Grand Jedi Master, of the Jedi Order then, and she uses a dual blade lightsaber, and she's a light side user. And those animated shorts are just absolutely awesome. So it'd be cool to see it in real life, and it'd be with Rey. So I definitely think time will have passed, and Rey will have grown into the Jedi, like Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi.
I think it's also, it would be cool to see, and this is something, I'm trying to think of things. Of course, Return of the Jedi parallels, can happen. But something that could separate it is that, Luke was like, I'm a Jedi now. And then the rebellion was like, we're fighting the Empire. And it was kind of two separate sort of things, even though Luke was around. I would love to see, the resistance happening. And then at a certain place on their new base, there's, a tiny little Jedi temple where, Rey's, training, Broom Kid or, some other kids. Who they found throughout the galaxy who are force sensitive, so she can.
I would agree 100%. It'd be cool to have
teaching that way. So it's both in the same area. Mm-hmm. And then actually likewise, on the flip side, I would love to see the First Order reestablished somewhere. And then Kylo Ren, calls his buddies at the Knights of Ren and is just like, hey, there's a Jedi army forming. We have to fight them. And then we have the Knights of Ren, which I've been excited for since the trailer for The Force Awakens, and we haven't seen any of it except in that flashback.
And the good news is, we also have, J.J. Abrams taking over. So, I agree with you.
So he could bring that back.
Yeah. So I like the idea of Rey's story continuing on its own, separate from the Resistance. And I like Kylo Ren's story. Now, what's interesting here, and something that, when you talk about the Resistance in the First Order here. The First Order.
There was a question here too. Oh yeah, not the Resistance First Order.
So the First Order, even though at this point is smaller than it's ever been, with the destruction of part of their fleet, destruction of Starkiller Base,
their largest ship.
Yeah, their largest ship.
They've essentially lost their Death Star and Super Star Destroyer. So
yeah, so they've lost a good chunk. But here's the thing: is you have to remember the First Order is the only government that is not a local government operating right now, because remember the Republic and the Republic fleet was all destroyed in The Force Awakens when the Starkiller base
kind of chipped off. I mean, at the end of Last Jedi, the entire Resistance is on the Falcon. So
the entire Resistance is on the run, and they're on Crate, and they escape through the Millennium Falcon, which we all know how big the Millennium Falcon is. And so it's one of those
smaller than the First Order.
It's still smaller than the First Order. So it's definitely like a beginnings of the rebellion. And we also have beginnings of this. So which is really cool. I when you have the idea of a TV show called Star Wars Resistance, I totally see Star Wars Resistance being animated, taking place between episode 8 and episode 9.
That's a really good
idea. Filling a lot of that story.
It's sort of like the Clone Wars of this trilogy.
It's exactly it. It's going to have, even though only 3 years passed between the Clone Wars, between episode 2 and episode 3, there is, 6 seasons of Clone Wars material.
Just material.
Same thing here. I feel like there's a lot of story that can happen, especially with, when you look at where.
Okay, here's another thing. I don't think I wrote this down, but if there's a future for Finn and Rose, if there's 5 years later, are they just married at the beginning of the next? It's just assumed that they got together and were a thing. Do we need to have a love story for them,
or are they
be married,
or are they not married? And it's they broke up somewhere along the line. We don't know.
Doesn't matter. Although we already have the Han Leia breakup, so I don't know. I would like just a straight up happy couple, for once in Star Wars.
We'll see. You had Owen and Beru. They were a happy couple.
Yeah, and
happily
look
married.
Rays.
They got burned to a crisp.
The lesson is don't be a happy couple, otherwise you'll get burned to a crisp.
So, and this is what's interesting is
ignores.
I don't know. But it's just interesting, because you don't know what's going to happen there. But I will say, I would love to see in episode 9, Force Ghost return. You know, they brought him back in episode 8.
Definitely.
I would love, like, Rey to be able to communicate with a Force Ghost Luke.
Well, and we also, like, and again, Yoda. If there's not going to be a Kenobi movie, just bring Ewan McGregor as a ghost, please. Like,
man,
he
like
can
how,
play the Alec Guinness role.
Well,
like
and here's
else.
What's really interesting. Like, again, without getting too much into Star Wars Rebels, the most recent episode of Star Wars Rebels had voice, you know, Ezra walking through the void, if you will, and he heard Ewan McGregor talking. He heard, Sir Alec Guinness talking. He heard Qui-Gon Jinn talking. He heard, he heard all the lines and everything from the original, the prequel trilogy, the new trilogy, or from the original trilogy, like happening in this alliance with the Mortis gods. I would like something like that to kind of be tweaked in a little bit in the films, like coming in with
also,
the Force
like,
Ghost.
Liam Neeson still looks the same, like you know,
and he still does like transporting and stuff like that. So like he's still. You know, someone who can come in and not even have to use a lightsaber, but just be there in Jedi robes and be awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's actually all I want. You know what I mean? Like, if we just had like a nice lineup of like Rey's able to communicate with the Jedi, because she, you know, at the end of The Last Jedi, she kind of at that moment in time is. You know, if Luke is assumed to have passed into the Force, you know, Rey is the last living Jedi at that point in time, and she is to train the new ones. And we know there are new ones out there because of Broom Kid, but like,
yeah,
you know,
I like how you just dub him Broom Kid only.
He doesn't have a name. I'm gonna call him Broom Kid even when he has a name. Let's be real, but like,
he's the spark of the Resistance. You know, he's got the ring and everything with the broom.
He's got it everything.
Lightsaber.
But no, so I think definitely like
he's a Skywalker, by the way.
okay, whatever. That's
fine. It's Luke's son. Broom Kid is Luke's son. I said it here first before anyone else.
Oh man. Okay. Is this the new theory? Okay. But anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, Rey being the last Jedi in air quotes, you know, for now. If for her to learn, she has the books, but she can also again communicate with Yoda and Luke and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and maybe like Mace Windu. Again, Samuel L. Jackson's still around. He was a really powerful Jedi too. And
yeah, but Sam Jackson died in anger trying to kill the Emperor. And got thrown off a building. And honestly, Mace Windu, Sam Jackson believes Mace Windu never died. So we'll see if he comes back or not.
So maybe he'll just be actually Mace Windu in this.
comes back.
Movie.
I'm 160 years old. I'm Mace Windu.
Like, sup?
Take a seat, young Skywalker. Yeah. Wait, I'm not a Skywalker. Oh, you don't know. Ah, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah,
what about the Porg attack on the Wookiees?
What about the Porg attacks? The Porgs. Oh, man. Where are the Porgs going to be? Are the Porgs going to be in episode 9?
Yeah, they'll just be little like guys walking around in the background of the Falcon. I'd be cool with that.
You think they'll still be a nest on the Falcon? Okay.
I mean, I don't think Chewie could really, like, they're kind of, you know, good balancing for Chewie. It's kind of cool to have two groups of characters that don't speak English.
Do you think Lando will come back? So,
yeah.
Obviously, we talked about the original
Lando
trilogy.
Calrissian?
The Adventures of Lando Calrissian and the New Resistance. Here's the thing is, like, you know, we saw the original trio, Luke, Leia, Han, come. And there was rumors that, you know, Billy Dee Williams has been approached about possibly coming back.
Yeah.
With Leia out of the picture, would Lando make an appearance? Now, here's the thing is,
I think even if it was just at her funeral, that would be great.
I would love to see Lando and Lobot. At the funeral, just because when you look at, one of the novels that dealt with, I think it was Bloodlines. Now, which one was it where Ben Solo was just being born?
Aftermath.
It was Aftermath. Okay, so in the Aftermath series, there was a whole section about Lando and Lobot taking over like Cloud City and stuff like that, or one of the reclaiming Cloud City.
Oh, what if that's the new Resistance base? That would
maybe
be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, but it's interesting. Like Lando and Lobot,
she could train
like,
Jedi in the clouds, teach them how to fly. That'd be cool.
I don't know about that.
Although
I will say it'd be cool to revisit a planet that we've seen in the previous films, because like the new trilogy has been like all these new planets, which is great. But it'd be nice to see some like the traditional like Coruscant or something like that again. But if Lando was to come back, it would be interesting to see him come back and where was he before when Han died and stuff like that. You know, like, did he join up in those time periods?
Right.
You know, in between? Because obviously, Force Awakens took place over such a quick period of time.
Also, maybe he heard the call from Leia at the end of the last movie, but, like, couldn't get there in time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, my point was, like, when you see an aftermath, like, Lando is still friends with them. He gives Ben, you know, mm-hmm. Ben Solo a blaster as a gift, and, like, yeah. any type of, you know, hey, bud, any, you know, you got a IOU from your buddy Lando. So it'd be cool to see Lando come back and be like, I grew up with this kid. Like, Chewbacca looking at Kylo Ren. Like,
I can just see, Kylo Ren, like, seeing Lando and be like, Uncle Lando? Like, shocked.
It's like, Ben, what did you do here? I like, can't believe you killed your dad.
Yeah. Like, that was now, my
put,
job.
Now put down that lightsaber and let's have a cool brew. And let's talk this through like adults. Oh, yeah. Man.
Man.
What have we here? Take that silly mask off, Ben. Oh, yeah, man. Right. Lando. Yeah, it'd be fun to have him back. But we also
just
have,
from a fan standpoint, like, as a Return of the Jedi fan, he's my favorite part of Return of the Jedi, actually.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he's
dude.
Fantastic in that movie.
Him and Nine Nub is already in. Nine Nub is in Force Awakens and Last Jedi. Why not have Lando and Nine Nub team back up and take the Falcon around?
That'd be crazy. I'd support that, though. At Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah. The Adventures of Lando Calrissian and Nine Nub.
And I know.
Featuring Lobot.
You know, going off the Coruscant thing you were mentioning, like, oh, old planets, like, we haven't seen. I know Abrams said when they were writing the script, or maybe they're still, you know, finishing it up, that Episode 9 is not only going to finish the trilogy, it's going to finish the Skywalker saga, is going to tie into all three trilogies. I was like, okay, so how are they going to tie into the first trilogy, or the prequel trilogy? And Force Ghost is a way, you know, Qui-Gon and, you know, maybe Samuel L. Jackson, who knows? But I was also thinking, like, you know, the Jedi Temple of the Republic is still there, even though it's in ruins, right? So, like,
mm-hmm.
Rey could even be like, okay, Jedi class field trip, let's go to Coruscant, and then they go and, like, you know, they can, like, read up on the history of the Jedi, you know, and...
Well, yeah, within, and, like, within that, the yeah. Emperor has... the Emperor had claimed the, you know, the Jedi Temple and everything like
yeah,
that.
Right.
So even though the Jedi Temple's in ruins, but, like, all the relics and stuff like that, like, you see... Yeah.
You know, that could Darth be Vader where comic. She runs into ghosts of Jedi past, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
The Jedi Temple, the ghosts might still be there, you know? And that would be cool and creepy, because then we would have flashbacks of, like, you know, like Episode 2, you know, like back when they were in their prime, you know, in the Republic, and seeing
and
that kind of stuff would be really cool.
And they started a war, right? Now, I will say this. Speaking of ghosts, one of our listeners, Molly from Michigan.
Molly from Michigan! Shout out to Molly.
I know her,
so it's fine.
Okay, there you go.
We love you.
asked about, what about Snoke coming back as a Sith ghost?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's interesting. We have seen Sith ghosts before, canonly. In Clone Wars, we saw Darth
canonly.
Bane.
That's a great word.
I guess canonology? I don't know.
Canonically, I think, right?
Canonically?
That
maybe?
Sounds really sophisticated. I'm going to say it's canonically.
Canonically?
Yeah,
do you have a monocle in your eye saying canonically?
I can actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, but
let's
yeah. So
that
we
that
did.
Happened.
We saw Darth Bane in Clone Wars. So we know that Sith ghosts are around. Snoke wasn't Sith though, which is interesting. But it doesn't mean that he couldn't come back as a ghost.
Well, and if he had the ability to connect minds, you know, through the Force,
he's an extremely strong dark side user.
Yeah.
But Sith was, you know, it's weird. Canonically, you know. It's weird, because Sith was originally a race, but that's not canon anymore. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you also have, like, Darth Bane, who wasn't Sith, but he was, like, the person who kind of made the rule of two in canon. So we'll have to see.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to see kind of Sith sorcery come into play, especially with the Knights of Ren, and I think it could happen.
Is Ian McDiarmid still around?
He is.
Because if we have a Sith ghost, I would definitely want it to be...
The Emperor?
Darth Sidious. Yeah, because, again, like, Snoke is great, but, you know, we have to remember Kylo Ren killed him, and, like, why would he want to help Kylo Ren? You know?
Well, and you know what's really interesting is, without getting too much into the spoilers of Rebels, if you haven't seen it, go see it, but basically, this last episode of Rebels, the Emperor wants... the void of time is on Lothal, an entrance to this doorway to the entrance of kind of time. This is how, you know, Ahsoka didn't die on Malachor, because you know, Ezra pulled her out. So, and from Anakin's view, from Vader's view, she died there. You know, she disappeared, but she actually got pulled into the time window, right? With the Emperor, and the Emperor was trying to pull himself through. So, like, here's the thing: is we see him die at the end of Return of the Jedi, being thrown down. But what if him or somewhere or someone loyal to him was able to pull him through and save him, and they came out as Snoke died, and he came in to influence and, you know, work. Like, this is like probably, I would say, probably like a wild card theory, but like, there's no, just because the Emperor is gone doesn't mean he died. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's gone for 20, 30 years. But what if he comes back as Darth Sidious, and maybe not even as a ghost, but as Darth Sidious himself, the Emperor, who is like the most powerful Sith user around?
Maybe that might be kind of a stretch. I feel like he should be. I would buy it more if he were a ghost.
Yeah, I agree. But the possibilities are there now. What we've learned. Yeah, I don't know about red ghosts versus blue ghosts. Anyway, all right. Any other last wild card things that you want for the or hope or think about for the future of Episode 9?
We have to kind of talk about. I mean, I know I wrote this down. We didn't quite get to it, but we have an explanation for Rey's parents, but we have to discuss whether or not that's true, or
so
whether
here's
or not
the thing.
Think it's true.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's true or not, because like you said, they were nobody. They were drunks that are dead in a poplar's grave on Jakku.
Yeah.
But that goes directly against her vision, her kind of flashback memory.
Kind of
remember, she's like, wait, don't leave me. And you see them leaving in a really nice ship.
Yeah.
And if they're drunkards living in a poplar's grave, like, why would they, one, be leaving Jakku if they died on Jakku? And I guess they could have come back. But two, they have this really nice ship. So, like, why wouldn't they go to some other planet and get drunk and die there?
And of
then
course,
instead?
This is sort of a big, you know, it's a hard. It's just like, do we want to get this theory back out and dust it off? But like, I definitely think there's a chance that, you know, Kylo Ren, because we know how manipulative he was, like, he could just be saying that to get her to, you know, like, let that go, come to grips with whatever, and like, join him, and yeah, let the past die, all that stuff. But like, when Empire Strikes Back came out, people were like, Darth Vader's lying. There's no way he's Luke's father. So I think this is our version of that, where it's just like, you know, is he lying to Rey or is he not? And we'll probably not even know until, you know, the next movie will be either we accept that truth that, like, yeah, our parents were nobodies, but the Force chose her to be this balance to what Kylo Ren was becoming, which I definitely think could be possible. But then also, if he was lying, does that mean he knows the truth and won't tell her?
I'll be honest, I don't think he knows the truth. Like, there's nothing saying that he should know the truth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is his theory of what it was, and she just kind of like lets us and him believe that he was right.
Yeah.
But maybe he is, maybe he's wrong though. But I will say, like, I do, there's plenty of argument of why I would say I don't think that is 100% true, mainly because the, like what we talked about, the, you know, the ship, like that ship is kind of one of those things where I'm like, well, not to say that it can't be, but you know, they did leave on a ship that, you know, is fairly large and was shiny and silver, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well,
who knows?
But that's not necessarily a wild card thing. Wild card thing.
Anything wild card?
Well, so Episode 8, as great as it was, did not have the scope that I wanted in a Star Wars movie. The last one has to be epic beyond all measure and comparison, because like Last Jedi, two things that, well, firstly is just like Rey was on Octu for most of the movie, and it was only at the end that she joined the battle and she did some great and important things, but like it was just the battle at the end. The Resistance was kind of like parked and stuck for most of the movie, you know, with the exception of that little escapade over to Canto Bight. And then, you know, the First Order was parked behind the Resistance, chasing them the whole movie. You know, it was a very small scale movie, even though it was huge. Does that make sense?
It was small scale in the sense that it didn't go very far.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But there were high stakes still.
Right, exactly. So, which is fine. Like, again, I'm not, like, against that in any way, but and also the second thing was the only two lightsabers we saw like clash were in the flashbacks of Kylo Ren and Luke. So in the next one, I would love to see, you know, a grander scope, like, you know, a trip to Coruscant, or it's like, you know, do something big and colorful and yeah. go places and like.
I would also like a you know, we saw a lightsaber battle with Rey and Kylo Ren fighting not each other so much, but the Praetorian guards.
Which was also great. Again, I'm not gonna like say that that was bad. It was great. I really, really liked it. But like, part of Star Wars is like, there's got to be a lightsaber duel in the movie at some point, you know, like, to me, you know, like, because there has been in every single one, and they've all been kind of iconic in their own ways. And so this one, you know, it was creative. I'm like, great decision. Like, we've got the good guy and the bad guy, like, you know, teaming up because they have to, like, and to fight, you know, it was a great fight. I loved it. But if we have Knights of Ren versus New Jedi Order and have like a battle, you know, Attack of the Clones style, but it's like Jedi versus Sith instead of Jedi versus droids, that would make me very happy, because then you have like this big choreographed, you know, samurai fight. It'd be awesome, because it's something we actually haven't seen in a live action Star Wars movie.
Yeah, it would be fun to see a final showdown between Kylo Ren and maybe yeah. the Knights of Ren, Rey, and whatever she's, you know, been up to.
I guess if we're tying together the trilogies, the last thing I would want to see is that the end of episode 9 has to be some sort of Rey voiceover, and we'll see every planet we've ever seen and the population of that planet being like at peace or whatever. You know, and we'll just have this. Yeah. And then we'll have this like big, like one liner at the end, Rey's voiceover, and then we'll have the end credits, and then it'll be great. But, you know, I just had that thought the other day. I was listening to, I think, the end of Revenge of the Sith or something like that. And I was just like, we just need some big voiceover with John Williams under it, and then I'll be happy.
And that is the end of, you know, although I feel like that means like we need to have Ron Howard from the Solo film come in and be like, and that's how it end. Except, you know, we'll see you next time as we visit, you know, whatever or something. Anyway. Yeah. You know, here's the thing, is this wild card, what I hope for future episode 9, I hope it just wraps up the story of the Star Wars saga. And I would love for it to, like, the wild card part would be, I'd love for it to pull in some of the stuff that was brought up in Rebels and Clone Wars, especially with, like, right. the Mortis gods that the Emperor kind of alluded to, the father, son, daughter, because, like, Anakin Skywalker was, you know, a 10-year-old boy hefted on this huge prophecy of, like, he's the one who will bring balance, and in a way he did, but not the way the Jedi expected. Like, it would be really cool to see, like, some of the more mystical stuff be explored. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think J.J. Abrams sees that, but I know the
I definitely the story felt group. Part of it, though. I definitely, okay, as much as...
I felt it more in Last Jedi with Rian Johnson.
Really?
Than I did,
oh, okay.
Than I did with Force Awakens.
I know we had the Octu stuff, but I gotta say, I felt more of the, I think, maybe air quotes, you know, traditional Jedi legend feeling in The Force Awakens. And it was probably just because of its timing. It was the first Star Wars movie in 10 years. Like, it was, you know, episode 7. It was this huge deal. But just, like, the lightsaber and the flashback alone was, like, whoa. Whereas, like, I think, you know, had there been more, maybe a little, like, if they went so far as to open one of the Jedi books and talk about it, that would have been enough, you know, but they didn't. It was just kind of there. They talked about it, but then they pushed it aside and moved on, you know?
Yeah, well, I know they edited a lot of stuff out, but with Rian Johnson using the Sith Code and the Jedi Code books as reference and stuff like that, like, he pulled in a lot more Star Wars-y mystical stuff than I saw in The Force Awakens, or really any of them. Like, in the prequels, you saw Obi-Wan Kenobi jump really high. You saw him and Qui-Gon run really fast, but you didn't really understand that that's an ability that Jedi have, like force speed and force jumping, like augmenting their natural ability. So, and that would be my wild card thing. I would like to see some of the more mystic stuff to come out, because it's kind of fun for them exploring it. But anyway,
again, that could be aided by a visit to Coruscant. I mean, I'm all on board.
No, like, I'm sure it can.
Let's go to places. It's like, give us that feeling that we got when, like, we returned to Hogwarts and Deathly Hallows 2. You know, like,
I would love to see them, like, even just go back to the Hoth base or something like that. You know,
maybe I'm trying to think.
Or Yavin base. You know, on Yavin
base.
Yavin 4, the jungle.
I'm thinking as far as, like, like in the prequel land, like maybe even like Naboo or something. You know what I mean? Like,
well, Naboo, I don't know if we'll see it again, just because of its ties to the Emperor and the whole like,
yeah,
like that city was kind of. It was beat
well,
up.
Maybe
by
if the
Emperor
is a ghost, they're just like, we need to find the Emperor's last Horcrux, and then they go to Naboo.
There's
the Battle of Theed Castle, and then, yeah.
Oh, boy. Let's move on. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at REOPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. As always, I am Mikey B.
And I am Ben.
Remember to join our 100th episode contest or giveaway. So visit resistanceradio.com for that, or .net,
special
not
music.
.com. And special music there. And as always, may the force be with you.
And also with you.